Blog Talk Radio. Hey, all you sexy V's, you know what time it is. It's 9 p.m. on Tuesday, and that means it's time for V's After Dark, where everyone comes. I'm your host, Miss V the Toy Lady, and I have our new co-host, James.
Hey, what's up, everybody? How's everything?
I know you guys said, that's not how she normally do the intro. Yes, we got to think out a new intro because we got James. And for all y'all who said, I'm out here acting crazy, you right. I have no fucking power, so you know this is going to be a really interesting show.
Yes, it really is V's After Dark.
So, James, welcome to the V's After Dark family.
I am so honored. I'd like to thank, I feel like I'm in, you know, I won an Academy Award. Let me get my papers ready. I'd like to thank God for this opportunity, because without him,
I need to play the music.
Yeah, I know. And I'd like to thank, okay, good night. No, but seriously, I'd like to thank you for this opportunity. It's very awesome. I'm very honored. It was so cool, because just to give you behind the scenes, she actually texted out to everybody, if you were following her, she texted out about me being her permanent co-host, and I saw it like everyone else did, and I was so happy. You don't know how, you know, it made me even feel better, because I was tired as hell Sunday morning being at my job. So, you know, thank God I have a job where I don't have to be really alert as much. So I didn't even need caffeine to get that extra adrenaline boost. I saw that. I was like, wow, I thanked you like more than at least 1,000 times. So I'll make this 1,001. Thank you very much. I'm very honored. And I guess there was good feedback, I guess. And I guess I do fit in with the family.
Yes.
So I'm very honored. I can't wait to continue this journey we're going to have together. And hopefully it's for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, and our first night, we're starting together in the dark.
it's so cool. I had to pitch myself, and I said on Twitter, like, I'm a triple threat now. Now I got, you know, my regular podcast, which I do tomorrow, my bench warmer show that I record. And then I do the baseball one every now and then. That's not as every week as it is my other podcast. And now I got this, which I'm very appreciative of. And, you know, I can't wait to you know, see where it leads to, you know, another chapter in my life. And I really appreciate it. I thank you very much, my dear.
Well, you are most definitely welcome. Like I said, you know, I'm still all hyped to do the show about respect. I just can't see nothing. Literally, I'm in my bedroom. I kid you not, dark as hell. But I don't feel alone because my entire neighborhood is dark. So it's like,
wow.
You know, I won't tell them what me and you discussed before we came on the air about how we went dark. But
very interesting, though.
Hey, you know, that's why they call it V's After Dark, you know, but
there you go.
But we're still going to talk about respect. What I'm going to do, everybody, including you, James, I'm going to apologize. If you guys lose me, I'm running strictly on battery power here, which means tablets on battery, phones on battery, everything is running on battery.
Wow.
Because if my phone goes dead, then that means the tablet goes dead because I have no power.
Yeah. So that means it'd be a short show if the battery dies.
But
wow.
We're going to hope and pray. They said that we would have power back. I mean, whoever does the power company ever tell the truth, but they said that we would have power back between 10 and midnight. This show ends at 11, so hell of a way to go, huh?
Yeah, that would be a horrible way to go. I mean, is it that simple that somebody tripped over the cord and knocked out the power in the power station?
You know what? It's so funny because where I live at, there is no storms right now. There are no storms. And I always tell people, I could count on, we never lose power when there's a major storm. We lose power when it's freaking perfectly calm, always. So, it really don't. And for this shit to happen, I'm like, really? This couldn't happen on a Wednesday night. It could happen on a Monday night. Fucking Tuesday night.
Mm.
But like I said, thank goodness I'm a gadget person. So, you know, I've got all my gadgets around. And then I do actually have the battery backup charger somewhere around here. I mean, I could find power because if worse come to worse, I'll be going outside in the car. As a matter of fact, I might end up doing it anyway. If I look like we're going to lose power and y'all hear me going kind of weird, that's because I'm walking to my garage, to my car, to plug up all the electronic devices.
Just don't turn on the ignition.
I can actually, my garage door be open. My car is backed in, so I always back my car into the garage, so I would never close it down. Plus, can't nobody get to me if I'm in the car,
okay.
But, yeah, this is craziness. So, I know normally I wouldn't start the show off crazy like this. Like I said, this is an unusual circumstance for me.
That is weird. You know what makes it even weirder is that you actually technically sound better than you did last week, because last week you were going in and out every so often, and without power, you sound better.
Well, you know what? That's because I was using Skype last week, and I have a Google. I normally do the show via Skype.
Yeah.
But I have to do the show via whatever this program is where I have you go talk straight through your computer. So I'm still talking through the computer, but I'm not on Skype. I'm not doing the it's called Zanga. Let me see what this thing is called. Because it hooks up.
Zanga.
Zanga Yang. It's ZINGAYA.com.
Okay.
But that's who it hooks up through.
Thank you, Zanga.
It has a keypad and everything. So, you know, as they say, it is what it is. I mean, at least we talking, you know, and I'm good. We all good. You know, I'm kind of pissed because my internet shouldn't have went out. That's the whole thing. I'm going to be talking to them because I have no home telephone. And I have a 12-hour battery backup for my phone and my internet.
Okay.
For whatever reason, it didn't kick in. So me and Comcast is going to be having a talk, too.
Yeah, a little one-on-one.
Oh, we're going to have a nice little talk, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Because my phone shouldn't have went out. I should have been able to call them. So, since
that's
I don't have time to argue with them.
Yeah, yeah.
Why does my neighbors must think it's party time? I can hear the bass from somebody's car in my bedroom. They thumping loud. This tells you when you live in the hood. Because you hear the sound boom, and it's like boom, boom, boom. I'm like, damn. And for those of y'all who said, well, what do you mean you live in the hood? I live in a neighborhood. For those of you who don't understand what the hood is, let me use proper English. That's how you know you live in the neighborhood.
Yes.
Where there's a line of houses on each side of the street.
Yes.
Some are one story, some are two story. I live in a two-story house. I'm on my second floor.
There you go.
But,
very smart. No Mr. Rogers in your neighborhood,
You know what?
Would you be mine?
Mr. Rogers might live on my street. Let's get that clear. Mr. Rogers might live over here because I'm in a very mixed community. And I think I know Mr. Rogers' ex-wife lives over here, if nothing else.
There you go. All right. There you go. At least we know that.
Mr. Mr. Rogers could live on this street or somewhere in this neighborhood. I've seen quite a few of them with his cardigan sweater. Walking a dog in the summertime. To my don't touch me thing. I'm going to get it for that.
Always changing clothes in front of kids. That's kind of weird, isn't it?
Changes in front of children?
It's very strange.
I thought that was kind of weird.
You think about it. I mean, not that he got naked or nothing. It's just that it was kind of weird. He was changing his shoes into his slippers.
Shoes and his sweater.
Yeah, and then that, you know, like. Hey, dude, you're in your house. Who gives a crap? Yeah. But anyway,
put on them proper.
Yes.
That's a whole different subject, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But we were talking about, for those of you who didn't listen to the show on Thursday where you guys are the co-hosts, well, James called in and we were talking about respect. And we figured we would bring it over to tonight's show. Yeah. So since I can't read tonight, I want to keep adding on to respect because y'all know all kind of shit happened in my personal life. And part of this respect thing, you know, James, me and you was talking about men respecting women and me, I was giving my thing. And I guess I'll start off with women being disrespected. And I'm going to start with that because every time I come on the TV and I actually listen to the news, I'm hearing about some chick getting her ass beat, or where I live at, I get bulletins of crime alerts. And we get instantaneous. I mean, we really have a strong neighborhood watch where when something happens, phone calls go out immediately. So we don't have, like, that breakdown in communication.
That's good.
And I saw when I came home today, because I didn't look at it while I was out, I thought it was like a regular crime report where they list all the crimes within the past 24 hours. I didn't realize a female was abducted over here by me.
No
kidding. In broad daylight.
Oh, my God.
At
really?
A gas station.
Oh, shit.
And people saw it. They got the license plate number. But the way the abduction went is where I'm going to go into the respect aspect. Some people saw a young lady being beat. She was being beat by a man. And people, men start intervening saying, hey, what you doing? Don't do that. You shouldn't do it. He took the young lady and forced her into the car and zoomed off. And they followed him and called the police. They lost him, but they're still looking for the car because they did witness her being beat. And, you know, that was the abduction. She didn't go willingly. He forced her in. But when me and you were talking about men respecting men, that's a situation where a man should have stepped in, which they did. They just weren't able to get to her. You know, I hope that she's okay. We haven't heard anything because we don't know who she was. It was just a stranger. But, ladies, you're in a public place. Respect. First of all, I don't condone no man putting his hands on no woman. But if you're in a public place and a man is putting his hands on you, I don't give a shit how in love you are with this motherfucker. I don't care. Black, white, Puerto Rican, green, yellow, Japanese, Asian, whatever. If you're in a public place, because this young lady was at a gas station where this happened, where she could have ran in. I know people don't like intervening, but that type of abuse is disrespect. I don't care what he say to you. There's no mountain dick that says I love you after I done got my ass beat. I can't comprehend getting my ass beat and then you fucking me. I can't. You know, I never even I used to hear about, oh, well, he said he loved me. You know, we went home and we made love. He didn't make love to you, bitch. He fucked you. Really, he raped you.
Yeah.
You know?
Basically, yeah.
He beat your ass and then he fucked you and told me, I'm sorry, you made me do it.
Yeah.
Really? He made you beat his ass and then you fucked him.
And that's no respect. Yeah. And then the woman says, oh, yeah, it was my fault. It was my fault. It wasn't his fault. You know, always trying to cover up for the guy that's beating her ass. It make no damn sense.
You know, and I know that it's hard, you know. I'm going to share a little something that I've never shared, so you guys, please don't send me the tweets with the, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. I don't want to hear that. It's been done and over with.
Gotcha.
But I'm going to share something because I think this is the time to share it.
Okay.
I was married to my children's father, and he was abusive. So I know what it's like to be in that situation where you say that it's hard to leave. I was one of those women who it was hard to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got my ass beat. I'm not going to sit here and say I didn't. Oh, bitch got her ass beat. But see, that last ass beating, when I called my mama, and my mama flew to California, I got the fuck out. But I did something. The wake-up call for me was something that a lot of people don't have. And I'm going to share this because this may help someone.
Good.
When I went to the police took pictures. I kept those pictures. But on top of that, my family sat down and had a talk with me because I don't come from a family of abusers. And I won't say what family member, but I thank her to this very day. She looked at me and she said, listen, we got you out of this situation once. If you go back, we're not coming back. We're through.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to continue to rescue you from that if you're going to allow that to happen. And you know what? I was so, you know, when I look at it, this is 20-plus years later. I'm happy as hell. Bitch ain't had her ass beat. But when I was going through my divorce with my ex-husband, he was calling. I was here in Michigan. He was in California. And he would call, oh, baby, you know I love you. You know, we don't need to go through this. And, you know, when you love someone, you get soft. I'm not going to lie, ladies. I know you get soft. But what I did was I had the pictures. And every time I even felt myself getting soft, I went and I looked at those pictures. And I reminded myself that I didn't, you know, this is what happened and he will do it again. He had done it before that. I just never had pictures to remind me what the fuck he did.
Yeah, yeah.
And I want to tell you, the best thing I did was not go back. It is 24, 25 years later. He's still an asshole. But I'm a happy ass bitch. I got a man who loves me. I love him, even though he, you know, man, y'all get on the nerves sometimes. But I don't get my ass beat. You know,
it's what we do best.
I don't walk around. I don't walk around trying to cover up no marks. Well, I do. I have tried to cover up some. Okay, those are different marks. But I'm not going around covering up no marks of humiliation
yeah.
for makeup.
Yeah.
You know, I ain't gonna lie. I would be lying if I said I wasn't covering up no marks, but those marks are different type of marks, you know, like mm-hmm. I said,
yeah.
I can't really, but what I want you ladies to hear, and gentlemen, because there are men who get abused also, that you have to find out what's your wake up to make you stop. And make you leave. You know, I have a strong family, but I think the pictures were more of a wake-up call than my family talking to me. And I say that because people can talk to you, but if you don't see what that person did to you and remind yourself, this is what they did. You know, and I don't have them up on the wall saying, look what he did to me. As a matter of fact, I just looked at them a few months ago because we're in the process of moving.
Yeah.
And not only did I look at those pictures, but I had the police reports and everything. And the touching part in my thing was that in that picture, I was holding my daughter, who was not even a year.
Oh, wow.
You know, with all these marks on me. So I was blessed to get out. I know how hard it is to leave. So when people say you don't know what it is like to try to leave, I most definitely do know what it's like to leave. But like I said, don't fucking send me the tweets. Oh, we're so sorry to hear this and da-da-da-da. Bullshit. I don't want to hear it. It's 20 plus years later. It's not that I don't want anybody to be. I don't want anybody to be sorry for me. Be happy
yeah,
for me because I'm
yeah.
happy now.
Yeah, that's
but you know,
happens.
People like to say, "Oh, Miss V, we're so sorry that happened to you," and da da da. You know what? What you do is you be happy and learn and celebrate my life and go and celebrate yours. That's what you do.
That's true.
You know.
That's very true. You know, just glad you were able to get out of that alive. You know, I've seen too many stories on these investigation discovery shows where, you know, the woman always dies most of the time. You know, it's good to know that there's a happy ending to this story, you know, and you're able to move on with your life and not only move on with your life, but better yourself and the way you are today, you know. So, you know, you have a lot to be proud of yourself.
Oh, well, you know what? It ain't nothing like putting in somebody's face the opposite. I mean.
Hell yeah.
And the reason why I say I'm happy is because he talks to me. You know, I'm the most gold-digging bitch out there, let him tell it. Considering I make more money than him, I still don't know where the fuck the gold is at. I've been digging for dirt, apparently. I ain't never found it. But I look, you know, one thing he told me when we were going through our divorce, because he was so bitter, he told me if I ever got rid of his name, that meant I never loved him. Well, naturally, I'm a spiteful bitch. I got rid of his name.
Yeah, that's good.
And then he told me I was going to be like his mother and have a bunch of kids and on welfare. I have two children. I've been on public assistance, but that was to help me out not to live like that.
Exactly.
Definitely. I can't get public assistance now. They look at me and be like, really? You want public assistance?
Really, me? Really?
Wait a minute. They'd be like, seriously? You asked for some help.
Wait a minute. You have a website
you
for
must,
your toys. What are you talking about?
You know what they be saying? You must think that you GM a Chrysler because you ain't getting shit here.
You ain't getting no handout.
I can't even get a damn bailout fucking handout. I can't even get a bailout.
Yeah.
So when you hear me say I've been on public assistance, yeah, but now, you know, they look at me like, bitch, don't step up in here. You make more money than the person you asking help from? Nah, we ain't.
No doubt about that.
You know, but so I kind of, as they say, it's always good when you can rub that you're more successful on somebody's face, especially I look at my college degree on my wall, you know, from a reputable university, Eastern Michigan University, just y'all know.
Yes.
I'm proud of my school.
Yes, you never fail to mention that every time.
But I also look up on my wall, and I have a presidential award from President Obama for community service.
I have
that all framed. So, I got this, you know, they say them little things. I say, I got this. How about you? I got this. How about you?
Mm-hmm.
So when you can flip it on your abuser, it looks out. It looks a whole much better. And James, welcome to the show. And James, welcome my co-host, James.
Yes.
I mean, Joseph, oh, my God, Lord.
Yeah, I know. I was like, there's another James out there? Wow, ain't that coincidence?
Joseph, I'm sorry, baby. Hi, Joseph. I see you all up in the chat room. Welcome my new permanent co-host, James.
Yes.
Tonight we're just talking about respect and chit-chatting.
Yes, yes. I'm glad. Always a loyal listener, which is what I like. That's very cool.
Yes.
I hope he likes what he hears with his new co-host. I hope I got, good feedback.
Well, once we get our guests back up in here, you know, we'll be interviewing some really sexy guests.
Oh, that's going to be so much fun.
I don't know when, but it's going to happen.
It's going to be so much fun, especially when I've had experience in this. So this is going to be even more fun with you included.
Yeah, and I got to take the minute to give a big shout-out to my girl, Naomi Banks.
Yes.
Chocolate Radio is launching, what is it, on the 7th?
Yes.
And I'm so fucking jelly. You see all the people that's going to be on her damn radio station?
Yo, ma, I see.
Makes me wish I would.
Oh, a lot of people. Great.
Yeah.
You could take it over and tell everybody if they don't know.
She's got Radio Sapphire. If you don't know who Radio Sapphire is, she was on, she actually was producer of her show when she was on the radio station is shut down.
Yeah. Yeah, that shit.
She was her producer on there, but she also has her own podcast that she does.
Yeah.
So Radio Sapphire is actually going to be on there, and I saw so many great people. I'm actually jelly, but, you know, I'm happy. As they say, my jelly is not a mean jelly. It's like, damn, maybe I should go to Chocolate Radio.
Wait
a minute. He's after dark. Might need to go to Chocolate Radio.
That would be fucking awesome. She's been putting out their YouTube promos. If anybody hasn't seen them, go to a YouTube channel. I think it's just Naomi, I think she calls it, on her channel on YouTube. And
all up in the studio and everything. I'm going to be in the studio one day.
Hell yeah. I mean, I go to the studio when I do a podcast, but it's not my studio. You know, it's a studio of the school I graduated from, Connecticut School of Broadcasting. It's not my studio, but to have your own studio, that must feel very good. I mean, you got Naomi Banks in there doing her thing. Miss Sapphire, like you say. You got Lexington Steele doing a sports show, which is ironic.
Wow.
I thought he was
in Italy.
Yeah, he's actually on there, too. Yeah, he's going to be on Chuck Radio, too. It's going to be called Fourth and Goal, and it's going to be sports and other stuff. So it's like you could talk about sports and you could talk about whatever else. I've seen the promo of that. And there's this other lady. Please forgive me. I forgot her name. But I forgot her name too,
but I saw it.
She was like a model and stuff like that. But it's basically like a show for women, basically. You know, like just basic topics and stuff like that. There was one topic she was talking about.
I'm sorry, James. I'm sorry. I'm so happy. I got power.
Oh, cool. All right. We had something positive for once. That's good. Well, it's before 10 o'clock. That's even better. 9:24 over here in the East Coast, so that's good.
25 minutes into the show.
That's not bad. That's not bad. Okay, I got played at number 24 for Lotto. I got to remember to do that. Oh, maybe that's a good sign. That way we can get our own studio.
But, hey.
Yeah.
I want to be like Tom Joyner to have them damn studios all over the country and shit. You know.
Yeah, right? Yeah. But, I mean, the going back to Chocolate Radio, I didn't know until I learned myself that it was going to be a whole station, internet radio station.
Me neither. I thought it was just going to be
her. You know, just her show. And then I'm looking, when she was talking about, because I tried to get her on to guest co-host with me, you know, and I had a feeling she wouldn't because she's very busy, but I asked anyway because that's how I am. I ask because you never know. And she was saying, oh, well, I would love to do it, but I got, I got test shows to do, and I got to deal with other talents. And I was like, deal with other talents and stuff. Okay, and then I see what she's talking about with all these other people, and that's awesome. That made me feel even happier for her. So it's so cool, and I can't wait. I can't wait to check it out. I know she has a launch party this Saturday on the 5th, on April 5th, so that's going to be awesome. I think that's going to be broadcast, I think, too, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong about that, but I know there's definitely a launch party April 5th this Saturday. So good, definitely all the best wishes, and I don't see how it won't succeed. It should succeed. It's going to be really, really freaking interesting, and I can't wait to check it out.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to call in. Maybe
oh, yeah.
Annie.
That'd be awesome.
But, so, yeah, you know, getting power should not excite me like this, but I am. I'm just, like, so fucking happy I got power. You know, you would think that I never knew what electricity looked like.
Oh, my God. I appreciate you, Con Edison. Thank you.
Here it's called it's DTE energy, so.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just doing it. Like,
yeah, I know, because it's kind of, depending on where you at, I'm like.
Yeah. Thank you, Thomas Edison, for inventing electricity, or making it work, that is, anyway.
Well, man, thank you for inventing electricity that they charge us for it. I'm sure that was not your intention when you created it.
Never know. Maybe
no,
not
you
at first.
You never heard it. You never heard about the Wild Wild West complaining. The folks who was getting electricity, you ain't hear them talking about their light bill. You watch any of these shows before 1960. You never hear any of them talking about their light bill.
No, that's true. That's true. Maybe because it wouldn't go with the show. I don't know. But in the Wild Wild West, they didn't give a crap. They were going after gold. They didn't give a crap about electricity. So, look, we got candles. We're good.
What are you doing?
We're going after gold, robbing banks, robbing stagecoaches, you know, stuff like that, trains.
Knocking folks off.
So, yeah, I'm just glad that electricity came back on because now you don't feel no creeped out no more. I wonder what it was, though. What
I don't ever feel creeped out, but I did have fun when the lights was off, though. I don't regret it.
So like you
y'all know that this is Dr. Dark, and we talk about sex and more sex. That's right. Don't think because we don't have a guest that we ain't talking about sex, because y'all know I can. Y'all just won't get all of it. But yeah, I was multitasking, trying to figure out how I was gonna get power.
Now that's talent.
Wait a minute, but was able to do my show on time. Come on now. How many people you know would lose total electricity in their home?
Come on, let's give a clap. Come on, clap, clap. Come on, the women deserve
and,
it.
And lose total electricity and then turn around and still be able to do everything else.
Word, look at that.
And on top of that, got my cable's back on.
There you go.
You know, I got to set a few clocks. Okay, let's see what we might have to do a switch here, because I am gonna switch.
Yeah, I can tell. It's not like you're switching as we speak. Are we still on the air? Hello. Are we off the air? Hello. This sounds like trouble. Hello. This is better when you had the power off. This is not good. Oh, boy. I don't even know if it disconnected. think we are. Let me see. Hold on. Hold on 1 second. Where's the... I wonder if people are hearing me right now as we speak. La, 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 la. Let me see. Hello? Let me try again.
Hello, I'm here. Hello? Hello? Okay. James is gone for a second, but he will be back. Well, I got temporarily disconnected because we switched back over to the main internet. And he's back.
Yeah, I see.
Hello?
You were better off without the power.
No, what happened? I switched connections.
Yeah, I could tell. I was talking to my own lonesome. I felt so alone.
Yeah, it made me call back in because I switched from my phone back over to my regular Wi-Fi.
Gotcha.
And I thought it was going to be one of those quickie switches.
Nope.
That's what I got for thinking. But, see, I wanted to make sure I had a full signal because I couldn't be going without that, I mean. But at least I'm on full battery power, you know. We shouldn't get disconnected.
Nope.
But let's start talking about respect, you know. So what do you have to say about it? Because really you didn't get a chance to say anything because we were on an hour show last week.
Well, with respect, I mean, like I kind of said a little bit, but respect, it should be something that should be given, especially the person earns respect, especially when you're dealing with people, you should give respect, and respect should be given back. Now, you know, sometimes certain people, for some whatever reason, don't do that for whatever reason, you know, regardless, maybe they have a bad attitude or maybe that's how they are, they treat people. It shouldn't be no excuse because you shouldn't take your what's going on with yourself on other people that had nothing to do with what's going on with you. You understand? If somebody gives you respect, you shouldn't just shit on them for doing that and just act like a total fool. You know, and that goes for anybody. You know, that's not just women, you know, guys, you know, anybody. You know, basically children, you know, anybody. I think, obviously, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, just go on because, you know me, I run my mouth all damn night.
Don't need power for that. So yeah, respect is something that you earn, not given. But once it's given, you know, you should give it back in return. It doesn't matter who you are, you know, especially with women. If a woman is treating you really well and you go and do stupid shit, yeah, you deserve bad karma for a long time. I mean, seriously, because, you know, why would you do anything like that? And I don't want to hear, okay, because your upbringing or whatever. Yeah, does it play part of it? Yeah, it does, because it could influence them in some way and really permanently psychologically mess with them. And they become like their father if they were like that, or if their mother was overbearing or something. Maybe that's why they end up being acting retarded with other people. When I say retarded, I don't mean, you know, people who are special out there. I'm talking about like just acting stupid, you know, just not using your brain. Because, you know, we're all human beings, and, you know, it's not that hard to, you don't have to like the person to respect somebody. That's another thing. You don't have to really like the person to respect. I mean, you know, it's even better when you love the person and respect the person. But if it's just somebody, like a coworker, you know, as long as, you know, you respect them, you know, as long as they deserve that respect, then that's it. Other than that, you should do your own thing because, you know, the world is hard enough as it is. You don't need that extracurricular bullshit. You know, it's something that's not that hard really to do. You know, I'm not saying be phony. I'm just saying, like, you know, usually if you give respect, you get respect. 9 times out of 10, and depending on the situation. Yeah. So. You know, so that's a little summary on my respect. Essay.
Well, you know, one of the things about respect is that, like you said, you've got to give respect to get it. But also, I think, and this is the mommy coming out in me, so for y'all who say, you sound like you my mom, you're damn right. But I sound like somebody who's old school more so.
Mm-hmm.
When I was being brought up, and me and James are from the same generation,
mm-hmm.
there was a saying that it takes a village to raise a child. And when they say that, it's not, they're not being funny when they say that. The truth is that when I was growing up, it didn't matter if you had a mother and a father at home. That was never the issue. You did not act a fool out in the street where somebody could see you, because them neighbors knew that they could beat your ass.
Yep.
And you know what? You didn't go home saying so-and-so hit me, because guess what? Before you got home, your mama and daddy knew that somebody had to put you in check. And if they didn't put you, because a lot of times they're not, the neighbors did not put their hands on you. You had to really fuck up for somebody to lay their hands on you. They just didn't beat your ass for the hell of it. But they made you wish you got your ass, because they was telling you, you know you're not supposed to be doing that. And you know what? I'm calling your mama. I'm letting them see it. And before your ass can get in the front door good, well, in my case, the back door, because, you know, we didn't walk in the front door. Front door was reserved for when parents was having company. You walked your ass in the back door in my house. You know, and before you get in good, you and your ass beat, why so-and-so had to say something to you? Or even at school, you just didn't do things. I mean, now you got kids talking about putting their hands on teachers, doing things that I would have never, ever remotely thought of putting my hand on a person of authority when I was growing up. Regardless of how mad they made me, I would never, ever, ever even remotely think of putting my hands on a person of authority. Now you've got young people in schools, and I'm talking about even in elementary schools, you better not hit me because I'm going to do this. You know, they talking about calling them Pookie and Boo Boo and all of them. And then in the case of folks who live in them white communities, because y'all do it too, so don't act like it's only a black thing.
Exactly.
You call them Marie and Sarah and Michelle, and y'all all want to beat somebody's fucking ass.
Yeah.
You hopping in the white community, your little spoiled ass is hopping in your car at 16 chasing somebody down. See, in the black community, folks ain't getting goddamn cars at 16.
No.
You don't get them unless you earn that shit and you saved up that money and you treasured the car.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not talking about white people, because we got some spoiled ass black kids too in this generation.
Mm-hmm.
In this generation, you got a whole lot of them.
Because
mm-hmm. I still looking at my cohort people I know. I'd be like, you want your child a car? My son and daughter didn't get a car until they got grown.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter just got her car a year and a half ago, and she's 23. She earned the hell out of that car. She earned it.
Yeah,
she didn't even know she was getting a car when she got hers, because my mom took it to her job and surprised her with it.
Oh, that's cool.
But the whole thing is that now, get a license, get a car. You do this, I'm going to put my hands on you. I mean, I don't care what city I go to, and I travel a lot. And I have every single city that I've gone to, I'm always hearing about some stupid-ass child putting their hands on a teacher, or some mama talking about, you better not touch my child. You know what? You see my child do something, beat their ass.
Hell yeah.
Beat their ass.
Hell yeah. Get them something up for me so I can get at them when they get home.
And when I'm talking about that respect come in, it's just so crazy. When you got respect, I look at it, if my son and daughter listen, they know it's true. They will tell me, they might raise their voice to me over the phone, but you better rest assured an hour later, especially if I done said, who you think you talking to? Mom, I was just so upset. I'm sorry. I get an I'm sorry because they know if I don't get an I'm sorry, they get an ass beat. And I don't care how grown they are.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter has told a lot of people. She told me to my face, she was like, you know what, I don't mess with you because I'm afraid of you. There's an old saying, I brought you into this world, I will take your ass up out of it.
Yep.
My son and daughter firmly believe I will take them out, and there will be no witnesses. They won't find damn body parts either. But, you know, respect starts at home. And that's why I say that. You know, me and
that's
you
true.
Talked about it before. Respect starts at home.
Yep.
And when, like I said, I read that thing today about the young lady being abducted. But she was so afraid, and I'm gonna put myself in her shoes. I don't know who she is. I hope she, like I said, I hope she's okay. But she's at a gas station, and she did not run. A public place, you know, it's not, you know, if they would have told me that she was on the front porch and he yanked her in the house, it's not that much that I would have been more understanding, but she was at a gas station. And that means that he has beat her so bad before that occasion that she was even scared to run.
Yeah.
Even in public.
Yeah.
And...
Yeah, you know that's dangerous because if you do that, probably imagine behind closed doors if you do that shit in public. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the whole thing.
And it's a respect thing, and you have to put your foot down. And I mean, ladies, I'm going to say this as a woman. This is my heart-to-heart to you. I know what it's like to be a woman. I am one. I got all them needs. I don't want to be alone no more than anyone else. But I'm going to tell you something, and y'all going to think I'm being funny, but I'm being serious and funny at the same time because you always have to make light of a very serious situation. You just can't be totally serious. It is dick out here that will want you. But if you cannot find a dick, find you a fucking toy, because I'm going to tell you, really all we need when we don't have a man is a damn good release. And that release comes from us releasing ourselves. Once we have sex, y'all can call me stupid or whatever. I've been on this earth 45 years. Mm-hmm. I didn't get stupid until I started fucking, okay? When I wasn't getting no dick, I didn't know what I was missing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we talk about men going stupid for the pussy, women
yeah.
go stupid for the dick,
mm-hmm.
okay? I'm going to call it the way it is. When you go stupid for the dick, you got to find something to take care of that.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I sell fucking toys.
There you go.
Because I haven't always had a man in my life. You know, I didn't always have a man who wanted to see me and come home from work in the middle of the damn night and go back. I didn't always have that.
Mm-hmm.
And I travel a lot, so my man don't travel with me, and he travels a lot, and so I don't be with him.
Yeah.
But you know what? If you got a man, you need to have that release. And if you don't have a man, you got to have that release. And this is just woman talking to woman. This ain't about nothing else. And y'all say, you trying to sell toys. No, I'm not trying to sell toys, because if I want to sell toys, we could be talking about toys all night long.
That's
I'm telling you from a woman's point of view, you got to relax.
Mm-hmm.
Because, believe me, if you're not getting laid, you horny. Which
Hell
means
yeah.
you settling for something that you don't want just because you want to get laid. But
mm-hmm.
if you got a way to come and make yourself come, then guess what? When he come running that shit on you, you looking at him like, okay, what are you going to do for me? And
yeah.
your attitude is a whole lot different. It's not that you don't need him. Let's get that clear, lady. I'm not saying we don't need a man, because I like the real thing.
Yeah.
But when a man is treating you wrong and we stupid for the dick, I'm going to say this again, stupid for the dick. The dick is what's making you do some of these things. Learn how to be alone. If you ain't never lived by yourself, learn how to live by yourself. Learn how to pleasure yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Get the phone. Y'all need to get the phone calls like I get. The phone calls I get, and we've been together 6 years. What are you doing? I'm watching TV. Are you playing with yourself? No, you should be. Guess what? That's my man telling me that.
Exactly.
And he's not telling me because I'm replacing him.
No.
He's telling me because he knows it's time for me to get a fucking release, and he ain't here.
So,
and he ain't mad about it. Because he don't want me going to look for no other dick.
Exactly. That's why he's saying that. Exactly. That's how it should be. I mean, something like that shouldn't be all uptight like that. You know, I'm lucky to be in a relationship with a woman that I've known for like 11 years where we talk like that. Oh, was that? No, that's not her. You
is
mean on my half? You talking about my
yeah.
half? No, that's actually
yeah.
Sierra, who was a former porn star from back in the day. That's actually Sierra I had on my show like a year ago in studio, which was amazing. That was cool. I got her. Of course, I have a picture of her on my phone, of course. But, you know, my girl. But, Yeah, I mean, it's good to be in a relationship like that where you can just express like that. Because to me, sex shouldn't be all uptight and taboo. Like, oh my God, you masturbate. Like, yeah, because, yeah, we eat and shit too. Like, you know, hello, it's part of being a human freaking being. You know, it shouldn't be like all uptight like that. You know, if I'm not there and she says, hey, I masturbate thinking of you, I say, hey, that's fine with me. And then get what? Get ready. I'm coming there right now. You know, next day or whatever. It's a healthy thing. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. Shoot, it's amazing I don't have like 10 kids running around somewhere the way I am. You know, the way I masturbate like a fucking madman. I do almost every night, and I'm proud to say it. I've been like this since I was a kid. That's the thing. Since I was like, I can remember being 5, 6 years old. Like, why am I rubbing the floor like this?
But you know what? Actually, there's a study. This was my girlfriend. I call her my big sister. God rest her soul. She passed away a few years ago. Her granddaughter was rubbing back and forth, and they went to the doctor and asked her, and she was actually having an orgasm.
Wow!
And she was only like 2.
And oh my God!
My aunt. She didn't know what she was doing, but
no.
That sensation is what she was liking.
Yep.
She didn't understand that she wasn't fingering herself or anything, but
no.
That motion back and forth, that feeling, doctors told her that's what was going on. And I just kind of looked, I was like, what? They start, and actually, when you think about it, there was a lot of little kids that do it. We just never pay attention. I don't remember mine doing it, but then I'm those mothers. My children don't have sex. They didn't have sex until they were supposed to. My children still don't have sex. I'm the mother. My children are virgins.
It's like, you know, you don't want. It's the same thing as like thinking about your parents and no, they don't have it. No, they don't have sex. No, no, I don't want to think of that. No.
Mom sells toys, but I got my children are virgins. Okay.
Yeah.
They're not going to tell me otherwise. I'm not that naive. For those of y'all who listen,
but
y'all say she that naive. I'm not that naive. I know they're doing the wild thing.
Yeah,
I take my daughter to the doctor. Me and my doctor have the same doctor. Me and my daughter have the same doctor, so.
Okay, that's good.
We go on the same date. Our doctor's appointment is every year on the same day at the same time.
Oh,
so.
That's good. You know, that kind of makes sense, you know, to do that. That way you know at the same time, okay, I'm good, you're good. All right, I'll see you later, you know. You know, right away. You know, like, okay, we both good at the same time, whatever. You get to know because you both went at the same time, you know. Because you usually know by the end of the visit, right?
Well, they're not allowed to tell me anything because she's an adult.
Oh, okay.
See, mom is all up in – see, you got to realize this is – our doctor we had passed away.
Oh,
and this doctor saw me, my daughter, and my mother. And the doctor that took over for him that we started seeing, my mother went first because I had to tell her to open her mail and read it for once. And she called and made her appointment. She saw the new doctor. Well, this doctor actually was taught by our doctor. So now this doctor has all 3 of us. So she picked up all his patients.
Wow. Look at that.
And when I went in there, I was like, can you suggest this to my daughter? She looked at me. She's like, you know she's an adult. I was like, yeah, but mom still pays the health insurance.
Bingo.
But... still, you know, as they say, she can't suggest, I mean, she could suggest it, but I suggest certain things, and, I mean, I do know what's going on, because I do get the medical bills, so I see the prescriptions that are being done, you know, so, I mean, I see the things, but then I have a really good relationship with my daughter, so as they say, you know, yeah, we do go to the same doctor, I just don't know what she do, you know. And we have our private consultations with the doctor. Now, if she wants me in there, then she'll tell her, I want my mom in here.
Right.
So it's kind of cool.
Hell yeah.
You know,
hell yeah, it's cool.
We do it as a family affair.
Yeah, but see, that's a cool thing. I like that. You know, there's no, you know, it's not uncomfortable now like that. You put it out in the open like, hey, you know, this is a normal thing. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. And you know, you being a concerned mother at the same time. So... It's good, you know. And plus, like you said, she is under your life insurance, so there you go. So you have the right to know.
I actually don't have the right to know, you know. And I always remind myself that she is an adult.
Yeah.
But I would hope that she would come and tell me. So I mean, I like that we had the conversations where she, you know, we don't talk about the whole wild thing, but we talk about toys. I mean, she knows toys, I know toys.
Yeah.
and we do toys. Well, okay, that just came out so fucking wrong.
I know, but I know what you meant.
She
you'll do them together,
she
I
knows.
Understand.
Lord, you know.
That's cool, though. That's
just some perverted shit.
No, I know what you were trying to say, okay? That could easily have been a hard right turn right there. Like, no, we know where you were going at. Boy, they both use toys together. What's going on? Not like that. But it's good that you have the, you know, a relationship like that. You would think as a parent you want your child, you know, to come to you when it's something, you know, important like that, whether it's that or something else. You know what I mean? So that way they can see. I mean, of course, you should be seen as the parent, because that's another problem nowadays, that, you know, the parents have become the friend first and not the parent. So the child don't see the parent like that as an authority because of the way they treat them. They baby them so much that they just say, well, I can get away with the fuck I want to get away with. You know, they're like my friend of mine. And that's not good, because then when they grow up to be adults, they're going to have a real fucking surprise when how life really is. Like, no, it's not like that, motherfucker. It's not like,
well,
no.
We didn't become friends until they became adults.
Yeah, exactly.
But
that's
then
different,
I also
though.
Told
that's
my
different.
Children.
Yeah, that's different. I'm talking about when they're young and they treat them like friends. That's not good. You're not raising them right. I'm not, you know, I hate to say like how you should raise a child, because I know everybody's different, but there's a way of
doing
it.
Well, you know what? No, there is a way to raise
exactly.
it. Exactly. And but you got when you got 16-year-old becoming parents, and I'm not saying being 16 is a bad age. I just don't agree with it. I believe that you should live your teenage years out,
yeah.
Not as a parent. But when you got parents, I came across people who are 36 years old and fucking grandparents.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm still cringing at 45, you know? I'm like, I'm trying to come into this that I know within the next few years I'm going to become a grandmother. But I got friends who are younger than me who have been grandmothers since they were in their
30s. That's something else. Think about that.
I made my mother a grandmother when she was 41 or 42. But the funny thing is that I was older than my mother when I had my first child. So,
wow, look at that. Wow, that's funny.
So,
that's weird. Yeah.
And my children are taking it further. My children are older than I was when I had them. So I know that at least I changed. Well, there really was no cycle. My mother is the only one who had kids young in our family.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, my mother was 18 when she had me. I was 21 when I had my first child. My daughter is 23, still don't have no babies. My son is 24, don't have no babies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's a big difference when you have parents who say, I wasn't preached to, my mother didn't preach to me, I didn't preach to my children, but I laid out some rules. I thought they were pretty serious ground rules that you can adhere to. And my ground rules were real simple.
Mm-hmm.
I don't fucking babysit.
Exactly.
You have a child and you're up in my house, I don't babysit. That means you got to go to school and take care of a baby.
Yep.
Because I don't babysit.
Mm-hmm.
And I put it down that if you want to act like grown folks, you have the responsibility of grown folks. And I reminded my children that they went through college with me. My son and daughter went to class with me when I was going through college. They went to school with me. My son remembered that it took me 12 years to graduate, so he literally was helping me with my math when he was 13, because I had to retake the stupid math class on college level that I still don't use, and my nothing. You know, so my son and daughter know what it's like to literally live on a college campus. They run strollers. They know what it's like to see mom finish up college when they were older, and they still had to go to class with me because I couldn't always get them home from school on time, so I had to take them to school with me because Eastern Michigan is an hour from Detroit. I didn't go to a local school. I went. So you're talking about
A hike.
Drive an hour.
Yeah.
And in the evening, in rush hour, that's like an hour, hour and a half, almost 2 hours. So you talking about having to be at class at 6 in the evening. My kids got out of school at 3:45. You know, so they got a chance, you know, to really see it, and it's a big difference that, you know, I think because they went to school with me, that they saw that they experienced it, that their attitude was different because they know the struggles. You know, my son and daughter know what it's like to know what them, you know, what them food stamp books look like. You know, the $7 book, the $65 book, the $50 book.
Yeah.
They know what they look like.
Yeah.
And they also know what it's like to call mom and say, I need $100 or I need $50. And mom and I say, what do you mean you need 50? I don't know where you're going to get it from. I ain't got it. Mm. And to always hear struggling. So they know the bad part of it, and they know the benefits of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when you raise your children that, hey, this is where we came from, this is where we're at, do you want this blessing or do you want this blessing? You can make the choice.
Yeah.
But it's hard when you're doing it this way. And when you give them that, and I don't know how we got on kids because we was talking about respect, so I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. But that was because we were talking about respect, you know, because like how kids today don't respect their parents and, you know, stuff like that. I think that's how we got into the kid part of it. You know, that's another
part
of respect.
But the parents don't respect themselves. You
that's
know,
another
that's
thing, too. That's
parents
thing
don't
too.
Respect themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen... And I'll say what I witnessed. I won't say any names. I won't say any instance. But I watched a young man about 10 years ago disrespect his mother. His mother was what she said she was legally blind. She walked better than most folks I saw without a cane up and down the street. But I saw him walk behind her, stepping on her heels. Bitch, I said, give me some money. Bitch, I said, give me some money. Bitch, I said, give me some money. First of all, this is how he was talking to his mother in public. I did see a man walk up and say, dude, you shouldn't talk to your mom like that. And he was like, fuck you. Man, you don't know what's going on. Bitch, give me some money. And I think he had fear put in her. I wish my son would say, bitch, give me some money. Bitch going to knock you out. First of all, when you call me a bitch to my face and you my son.
Yeah.
I'm putting you in check. It's a wrap. You're not even gonna get to. Wait a minute. You're not even gonna get to give me some money.
Mm-hmm.
You gonna say, bitch? Boom.
Yeah.
Now I might bloody up my hand. It's probably gonna hurt, and I might have to do it twice because I'm probably not gonna knock you down. So I'm gonna have to clock you again.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not gonna be no bitch for my child.
Mm. Hell no.
And I watched him do this, and this was an older woman. She was actually older than me, allowing her son to talk to her like that.
Man.
I wish. If I call, you know what? If I call my mother a bitch right now, y'all won't be talking to me next week because my jaw going to be wired shut.
You'd be sucking on a straw for a while.
I wait with that weight I'm trying to lose, I'll lose it real fucking quick because I won't be able to eat. But...
Nope.
Children, parents got to respect themselves. And like you said, they can't be friends, and that's where that respect. But then you got men.
Yeah.
All these, and I'm putting all the men on the spot. I don't care what race you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know and I don't care what your culture is.
Exactly.
I'm going to say this. This is how it's going to be. All men have a responsibility that when you see these young men being fucking out of order. Men, you have a responsibility to step to that young man and ask him what his problem is.
Mm-hmm.
Man to man. Because, see, the one thing that we have not put in these young people that was put in us, if you want to act grown, we're going to treat you like you're grown. That means if you want to wear the big boy shoes, you're going to get treated like a big boy. And these men are not doing that. They're not telling them the responsibilities. You know, these kids don't have to go out there and get a job when they're 16. They don't have to get, they don't have paper routes. As a matter of fact, it's dangerous for them to have paper routes. You don't see kids riding around on their bike throwing out the paper somewhere.
No.
You don't see them hustling. They have no sense of the respect to me starts when you start making money.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't even have the respect to go out there to try to make the money when it snows. Me and you both live in very snowy areas.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember growing up, the boys being out there making money, shoveling the snow. I'm talking about 9 and 10 years old just to have money to buy candy. We're not talking about to support nobody to buy candy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was out there with my girlfriends. We used to compete. It'd be a group of us trying to go house to house on them snow days, trying to make that money.
Oh, especially snow days. Hell yeah.
This winter, I know it snowed bad in New York because we got it bad here.
Yeah.
I never once saw a young person come and ask to shovel my snow. My neighbor said one day they came and asked. That was the last snow we got. And I won that home.
Wow.
This whole winter, never asked to shovel snow, never came knock on the door.
Mm.
Never. I never saw anybody going up and down my street. And I live on a big-ass street.
Yeah.
Never saw anybody going up and down the street.
Yeah. It tells you that times we live in, because you think about that shit. You know, like, it never was like that. You used to have people come. Matter of fact, even... I don't think this year. It was the last time we had a bad winter, which was like 3 years prior. We actually had somebody come, you know, yeah, you need some help? But we were good, you know. It was me and my dad, you know, I'm helping my dad, you know, show the front of his house. You know, I said, no, we're good, but thank you, you know. But at least we had somebody come, you know. You know, but to have nobody come by, it just shows you the, you know, there's no ambition and there's nobody at their home probably pushing them to have that ambition to do something, you know.
I'll give you one better. Mm-hmm. I live across the street from my house with a man and wife. I don't know if they're husbands, so I'm going to say there's a man and a woman.
Gotcha.
About three children. The youngest of those three children, and it might be more than that, but the youngest of the three children might be 9 or 10, so we're not talking about small kids.
Okay.
I'll say the oldest might be 13.
All right.
No one in that house shovels snow all fucking winter.
How's that possible?
And they drive two cars.
What?
The man didn't shovel. They just drove over the shit and got stuck. I was waiting on the transmission to burn out. Waiting on it to burn out.
How the fuck? What? I've never seen that.
That's a house with a man and a woman, and we're not talking about no young man. I'm gonna call it one of two ways. Either he a young man who had a hard fucking life, or a man who's about my age who ain't got no fucking damn decency and no respect about himself or nothing else.
Okay.
I'm gonna put it on number two that he about my age, because he did not make them boys get out there and shovel all this winter. As a matter of fact, they took the shovel and stuck it up in the damn snow, and it stood up in the yard.
Wow.
A couple of my neighbors did that.
Wow.
I was the only one who had their stuff done.
Wow, that shit's crazy.
My daughter had to shovel. My daughter had to pull out the snowblower because I was in an accident last year. But my daughter had to do a lot of things for me because I can push my snowblower, but I can't lift the heavy snow. But my father talked about it. I had to clean this driveway of anybody on my street from the middle of the street all the way back to my garage, and that's a good 150 feet.
Wow.
You know, so we're not talking about a small amount.
Yeah, exactly.
And my sidewalk in front of my house, from driveway to driveway, and my walkway up to my porch, and then I have a small walk that goes to my driveway.
Wow.
My father came over, and he was like, damn, ain't no getting stuck in your driveway. Nah, we don't play that. Don't play it at all.
Mm-hmm.
But to watch other people, and like I said, a man and a woman in a house with young people.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, I believe there's a handicapped person in the house that uses a wheelchair, even though they don't have no handicap plate on either car. I know someone is handicapped in that house because I've seen them take her in the wheelchair, and I've seen the visiting doctor come over.
Okay.
You can't even clear this out where she could get in. There is no wheelchair ramp.
And that makes it worse.
Neither car has a handicap plate. But yet and still, this is the house that you live in. This is how you're living. And I understand that everybody don't have everything. So I'm not saying that everybody has money for everything. But you know what? When you own a shovel and you don't shovel, that's trifling. And that's what you're teaching these boys, that they don't have to do it.
Exactly. And then that,
and then they're not gonna respect nobody else, because the whole thing is that my man yells at me, "Why didn't you wait on somebody to shovel your snow?" Because I don't have time to wait on no damn body.
Exactly. I got enough trouble.
I got shit that gotta be done.
Exactly.
If I wait on motherfuckers to come and do it, it ain't gonna get done.
Exactly.
But I get yelled at for that. Not because of me doing something wrong, but because I don't have the patience to wait on nobody.
No. No, you shouldn't.
But when you got a man and a woman living in the house and they're not making nobody shovel no snow, what does that say? That right there is a lack of it. And like I said, the man looks like he's about my age.
That's a shame.
So he's already raising them kids that they ain't got to do shit. They ain't got to respect nothing.
No, exactly. That's what I was saying earlier.
Like, okay.
Yeah, so that's what I was saying earlier. It's people like that, kids having kids, all that combined with the not the proper upbringing, to where when the kids become older, they know what, you know, what respect is about and what they have to do with themselves in life. They think they're going to be, you know, coddled the rest of their life. They don't work that way. Because guess what? You got to get out there. And that's what I had to do when I was, 18 at the time. And I was trying to get into, stuff with TV or radio, stuff like that, but I didn't have money to do it. So I went in the Navy. Because, for one, I couldn't get into college. And, two, shit was popping off around here. So I had to get the hell out of here. Off the Navy I went. So the point is I did something, because my parents taught me, you do things in a certain way, and that's what I did. I did, because even today, I feel weird if I ever, it means a last resort, even to ask my mom for money, I feel weird. It's like, I don't want to do that.
For money at all, I'll be like, "Yo, you giving it? Let me take it."
But that's different. Now, if you give it to me, that's different. I'm talking about asking.
No, but you know what? But see, I'm cheap. See, my problem is that I'm cheap. I will spend somebody else's money before I spend mine.
Yeah, so if
my mother say that she gonna do something for me, even if I got the money, she knows I'm cheap. But then they also know the benefits of it, with me being cheap. Like, we went out of town this past weekend, and I'm, like, paying for whatever, not fussing about it. Because it wasn't an issue, So I guess I shouldn't say that I ask her with no problem. It's kind of like, I do other things, Like, they're getting ready to get a brand new laptop. They're getting ready to get my old laptop, because I'm a gadget person.
There you go. Yeah. If you don't know,
I'm a gadget person. Yep. I love my gadgets.
Yes, that's how we were able to be on here in the first place today, with the blackout.
Because I'm a gadget person.
There you go.
Gotta have my gadgets.
Exactly. Inspector Gadget will be proud of you.
Hey, I ain't mad about it.
No.
The show must go on.
Of course. Of course. I'm proud to be part of it.
The show must go on. And it went on time.
But the big thing with
respect is that, when I was talking about the young lady who got hit, and I talk about women, and I know we've jumped around, but we already had this conversation before that I'm ADD and I don't stay on one subject long, but the whole thing with respect, and then I like making it fun. I don't like it just being so damn serious.
Yeah, of course.
But with respect, seriously, ladies, first off, if you're 15 and listen to my show, you need your ass beat.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that now.
Yeah.
Under the age of 18 and you listen to this show, you need your ass beat. That's coming from a parent.
True.
Because if my children were under 18 and listen to this, I'd beat their ass. Because this is not a child show. But if you got the, but if your mama and daddy ain't monitoring you like they should and you listen to this show, learn some respect. Don't let nobody disrespect you. And I'm going to give you a little pointer. I have been going to some of the best restaurants since I've been able to date. I started dating when I was 16. And back then there was no computers. Therefore, you had to depend on magazines and the newspapers.
True.
And what I did was that there was a magazine called Our Detroit that's still out here, and it had some of the best restaurants listed in the country.
Okay.
And the guy that I was dating, I was 16. Remember, let's keep this clear, 16.
Mm.
I made him save up the money to take me to one of the best. I had never been to a French restaurant.
Okay.
But at 16, I was at a French restaurant.
Look at you.
And I made him take me to it.
Wow.
And I had escargot when I was 16.
Wow.
Didn't know what the hell it was, but I found out I do like it. Haven't had any, but I do like it.
Okay.
Yes, I like them damn snails. They're good. Dipped in garlic butter. Very good.
Mm.
But because I demanded that I be treated a certain way, he treated me the way I wanted to be treated.
Hmm.
And that was the respect I got. I wanted to go to that French restaurant. You need to save up some money because this is the restaurant I want to go to. And I went to two or three restaurants like that before I turned 18.
Wow.
I don't come from a rich family, and he wasn't rich. Again,
hmm.
we were 16. But before I turned 18, I had been to some of the best restaurants in the country that were here in Michigan, here in the city of Detroit. They were on that list. And that's how I got my respect. But I dated somebody who, for one, he wanted to respect me. Two, he was raised to respect.
Mm-hmm.
But three, I knew what I wanted and what I was not going to tolerate early on. And guess what? I've been wined and dined by average men my entire life. Let's get this clear. We're not talking about men who make $1 million, drive around in Bentleys. No, I haven't been privileged with that.
Mm-hmm.
I have been privileged to have men respect me because I know what I want and take me to restaurants that I want to go to. And if I say I want McDonald's, I get McDonald's too. Let's get that clear. I'm not above McDonald's. I'm not above Subway or White Castle.
Mm-hmm.
But the restaurants I want to go to, I go to. And the respect that I want, I get.
Exactly.
You know, can I be disrespectful? Let's get this clear. I'm not saying I'm always respectful because you piss me off. I become one of the most disrespectful people out there.
Oh, hell yeah.
But, again, overall, I am respected and I give that respect. But, young ladies, you've got to start early on. Know what you want. Don't be snooty. Don't be snobby about it. But if you know that you want to, and I'm going to start with something simple. If you know that you want to carry a real Coach purse, but you can't afford it, don't start with a knockoff. Because once you start with a knockoff, you're going to always settle for a knockoff.
Mm-hmm.
I knew early on that I wanted a real Coach purse. And all my Coach purses are real Coach purses.
Mm.
When I got old enough to afford a Louis Vuitton, I didn't go get a knockoff. I carry real Louis Vuitton.
Mm-hmm.
And my man knows it. As a matter of fact, I've got four purses that have to go to the shop to be repaired because that's how much I've torn them up. My Louis Vuittons are regular purses to me. They're not what somebody else looks at. Ooh, that person's carrying a Louis Vuitton. I carry my Louis Vuitton just like the fucking Kardashians carry theirs, like they ain't shit. Because that's where I've gotten to with what I want. I don't make Louis Vuitton money. I know how to get my real Louis Vuittons.
Mm-hmm.
And I carry real ones, and they're not bootleg. I don't go to Boosters,
mm-hmm.
but I know how to get them. But because I do carry them, and my man knows that's why I carry, guess what? He makes sure that when I'm walking out the house and I got my damn Louis in my hand, bitch better look like she can afford it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so my next step is my red bottoms. I still don't own a pair of red bottoms. I ain't found the discount store for the red bottoms yet, but I'm working on it.
There you go.
Because I will not buy my red. I will not buy my red bottoms off of eBay.
Exactly.
Even though I probably could, I will not buy them because too many fakes are being sold.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
But that's what I'm talking about, the respect, because I respect myself so much. The person I'm with, it's almost like, well, damn, if this is what she's carrying and this is what she's doing, he has no choice but to respect me because I respect myself.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't respect yourself, and like I said, that's why I said I'm starting with something simple with the real Coach purse. So some people say, why you say Coach Purse? Because Coach and Dunia Burke are the bottom of the top of the line purses. Let's keep real. Then you got your Kenneth Coles. You know, then you got your other purses. But the status is, if you carry a Coach or a Dunia Burke, get the real one.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you, ladies, you listening, you could get a real Coach Purse at TJ Maxx. They're real. You could get a real Dunia Burke at TJ Maxx. They're real. If this is what you want, don't settle for the knockoff. Get the real deal. Because getting a fake one tells people that you will settle for fake.
You settle for less.
And if you settle for fake, well, you know what? If you settle for a knockoff, you'll settle for the knockoff man. Why get a real man when you'll settle for the one who is like a knockoff? Well, he can't afford it, but he could perp like he could get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he don't take me to Red Lobster. He takes me to Red Hopster or something, you know.
Red Hopster.
He don't take me to Mickey D's. He takes me to Mickey Dow's, you know.
Mickey Psych.
He don't take me to Red Robin. He takes me to Red Inn. He doesn't take you to the Embassy Suites.
Yeah.
He takes you to the Embassy Hotel.
Yeah.
The Embassy Suites is a big difference. Hmm. You're settling. If you're used to Embassy Suites, you don't settle for the Embassy Hotel or for the Red Roof Inn or for the Super 8.
Yeah.
I'm a Hilton girl. You know, I tell them, I don't even say Embassy Suites anymore. I'd be like, it's got to be in the Hilton family or it's got to be in the Marriott family because Marriott and Hilton don't own Super 8s or Red Roof Inns.
No.
I'll settle for a Ramada if it's in the right area now. Let's get it clear.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, depending on where I go in the country, because for those of y'all who down in Alabama, I found out one thing that I had to deal with, I think, not the comfort in. I got to settle for something down there because we went to a family reunion.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I do have to settle, but I have to settle not because I want to, but because that's all that's there.
I had no choice.
Really, I had no choice.
Yeah.
But if the man tell you that he's taking you, okay, like the man, if he's going to take you on vacation and he say he's taking you to Disney World, but the hotel you staying at is 150 miles away from Disney World because he can't afford none of the hotels there,
yeah.
Then you're selling for a knockoff and y'all can't go into Disney World because remember, it's $100 a person per day to get up in there. But he taking you to the place that's not Disney World. Knockoff Disney World, whatever the knockoff Disney World is. You know, just don't settle.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, don't settle for the knockoff Coach when you can have the real one. Don't start with that. Like I said, I know what a knockoff looks like, but I don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the real one is so cheap. You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And men, if you know that your chick is carrying knockoffs and that's what you allow, then you getting a knockoff bitch. So you selling too, which means that when you don't go to the bootleg man and buy her a knockoff because you want her to have the real thing, she's not going to appreciate it when you buy her the real thing. I'm just being really honest, unless, you know, she a different breed. I've yet to meet anybody who carries knockoffs who appreciate the real thing. I'm just being honest. I could be wrong, but I don't know anybody who starts with knockoffs who move up. You know, I'm like the Jeffersons. I'm moving on up.
Yeah. East side, west side.
And the Jeffersons do anything half-assed.
Yeah.
But I'm telling the men also, don't, you know, if you got a chick who got on some red bottom shoes, and real red bottoms are Christian Louboutins. I have a pair of shoes that have a red bottom on them. They're not red bottoms. I don't claim I wear red bottoms. I know they're not red bottoms. I know what real red bottoms are. These shoes are, I think, Mikasa's or something. They just happen to have the red bottom. They paint the bottom red. They paint the sole red, but they don't even call them red bottoms. Nobody thinks you have red bottoms when you have on these shoes. So I don't walk around, you know, saying, oh, I got red bottoms. I know what real red bottoms look like. I just know the sole on that particular shoe is red because I wear it.
Mm.
Guess what? Nobody what? Says, oh, you got red bottoms, because I don't say it. I'm like, no, baby, that's a Mikasa. You know, I know what I'm wearing.
Mm-hmm.
I know who I'm wearing.
Yeah, you're not.
And I don't claim I'm wearing something else.
Exactly.
But, dudes, if you get with a chick and you see her with some red bottom shoes, and she said, yeah, I got me a pair of red bottoms. Ask her what a red bottom is. Now, she can't say Christian Louboutin, because remember, it's not Louboutin. It's Christian Louboutin.
Okay, I think you were wrong.
You know. Huh?
I think you were wrong. I'm a guy. I don't know these things. So.
No, but it's just like, you know, I'm a shoe and I'm a purse person.
There
so,
you go.
And I tell people, I know my purses.
Mm-hmm.
And I raised my daughter. She doesn't carry knockoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So when people look at her and they say, oh, you got Louboutin. I mean, not Louboutin, Lord, I'm on Louboutin. When they say I got my purses that I got,
yeah.
Guess what? They'd be like, yep, we know. They real. As a matter of fact, I sent her pictures when I buy them. I made a mistake and bought two purses of the same purse because I didn't realize I had already bought it.
Oh. You loved it so much, you bought the same shit twice.
Well, I bought one for my daughter, and then I saw it on sale so cheap. And just so y'all know, my secret is, and just so y'all know, I have no problem telling, because y'all don't live where I live at. My secret is I shop at the secondhand store, the resale shops,
okay.
Where my stuff is certified, real.
Yeah.
So when it comes down to my purses, why would I pay full price when somebody don't want the purse that I want?
Mm-hmm.
They don't want it, they take it to resale shop, I get it.
Yeah, smart.
And guess
that's
what?
Cool. Yeah.
It may be a little worn, but that's how I made a mistake about two of the same damn purse. I bought one. I gave it to my daughter because I thought about her.
Mm-hmm.
I went shopping again, happened to go into one of the resale shops. I was like, damn, this purse is cute. And I was like, I don't know if we got this one. That's how I did it. I don't know if we have this one.
That's how much purses you have.
Yeah. We had my purses appraised, and I was embarrassed when we appraised the value of my purses. I was like, that's not good. And considering, like, four of them need to go to the shop now. So
it's just funny when I first hear about these things about Louis Vuitton is that, you know, is it for life that you could have them always replaced or something like that? Is that the case?
The Coach purses will always be repaired. The Christian Louboutins, since I don't have a pair, I don't know what the warranty. But most of the high-end shoes and purses,
mm-hmm.
you can take them back to the you can send them back to the manufacturer and they'll fix them. But the whole thing is they have to be fixable. If they can't be fixed, they won't be fixed like mine. They can't replace the straps on mine the way they need to be replaced. So I'm just going to take them to the shop because you know what? They're worn. These are my everyday purses.
Gotcha.
So I don't mind having a shoe shop or a
cobbler. Yeah.
Stuff because I know that they're going to do it.
Yeah. It's just funny how you talk about your purses like if they're a car or something. Yeah, I'm taking it to the shop to get fixed.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like. Well, your car's no, my purse is like, That's interesting.
And then my car is like that, too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting though, but in a way, you know, you're talking about Louis Vuittons and all that. That's how you should be in life. I think going back to the respect topic, you know, it all starts with respecting yourself, which is what you're going at here. Respect yourself. You respect yourself, then you can start. Then it's become much easier for you to respect others. Cause If you don't love and respect yourself, you ain't gonna give a shit about nothing, you know. Which is what we you were seeing when you were talking about these neighbors. They don't even shovel snow for the whole freaking year. Like, what the hell is that? Like, how's that possible? I can imagine how inside the house must look if they don't shovel the outside of the house. You know what I mean? You can imagine that. That sounds horrible.
They still got Christmas. They still got a Christmas tree laying beside their house, and they still have. You know how you write on your windows?
Yeah.
Merry Christmas and ho ho ho. They haven't rubbed the shit off the one. I'm talking about, you know, the spray on stuff that can wipe off real easy.
Yeah.
They haven't wiped that off either.
Wow.
Don't nobody else have Christmas decorations up at them. Don't, women, they don't even have the decorations up. The tree is beside the house, and the window sees still say, ho, ho, ho. Sometimes I don't want to say, who's a ho?
I was going to say, is it H-O or H-O-E?
I don't know. Ho, ho, ho.
Yeah. Lazy ho, ho, ho. Like, shit, what the fuck? I mean, all right, the Christmas stuff, all right, but not to shovel, especially this past winter? Yeah, you mind. And how the hell the transmission didn't just fall out trying to get out of the freaking snow like that? That's crazy. I mean, it's just pure
laziness. They kept calling Joe the mechanic over to fix the car, so I'm assuming they must have fucked it up a few times.
I mean, gotta
and I'm
be.
Saying Joe the mechanic because I don't know who the guy is. You know, I don't know who it was who was fixed on the car, but I'm saying Joe the mechanic because you could tell they can't afford to take the car to the shop. Therefore, Joe the mechanic guy, come fix the damn bitch because you blew out the transmission trying to get into the damn driveway because you was too fucking lazy to shovel. Not only were they too lazy to shovel, now I'm old school.
Mm.
I will push a car.
Yep.
Not pushing.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't even get out there and push the car. I even watched him just spinning until they couldn't get into the driveway, until they just spent a hole and still got in finally. They come back up the street, phew, zoom up in the driveway, you know.
Push.
I'm like, wow, shit, I want money like that.
Yeah, right? That's another thing, yeah. Just throwing away fucking money. It could be used for something else. Something else more important, you know, something else that you might need to do. That's just asinine to me. It just makes no damn sense. I mean, that's just, I don't even know if there's a better word that's more important, that specifies this than lazy, you tell me, because I think that's damn lazy, or really
trifling.
Lazy. Yeah.
Trifling.
Trifling, yeah.
Trifling.
I mean, Jesus Christ, that's crazy. I mean, how do you just live like that? It's just insane. You know, there's no way.
Trifling. Just straight up trifling.
Mm-hmm.
And the reflection is that they don't respect themselves. They don't respect
exactly.
where they live, which means they don't respect themselves, and they don't respect nobody else.
Exactly. You don't respect yourself, you definitely don't respect others. No doubt about that.
And like I said, because I actually had to talk to the man.
Really?
And this was... once the weather started breaking, because they were driving all over my grass and shit, because they were back out their driveway, and because I got the clear driveway back all up in that, but they back all over the grass. They don't know how to drive. They back over their own damn grass and over their neighbor's grass.
Wow.
So I waited till my daughter wasn't here, and I knew that I was gone, so I knew nobody was in my driveway. And I called him. I was like, can I talk to you? And I was like, when y'all be backing up in my driveway, can y'all not do that? I was like, because it's going to be spring, and that's going to leave a hole, and that looks bad. Oh, when I back up in your driveway, I'll do all that. I was like, you know what? I sit right up in my window, and I see, and I was like, that little car do back all over it. Guess what? He sat there and told me whatever, and then he went on and did it.
Mm.
And guess what? He went and told her, no more backing up in my driveway.
So did they live, like, right next to you? Across
from you? The street.
Oh, okay. Hmm. All right. Yeah, that's trifling. Damn. That's just insane. I just don't understand that.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. I don't understand that. It shows a lot if you're just like that, if you just look like you don't do shit for yourself. I mean, you know. You either like that or you're not, you know, and it's a shame if you are like that, if you just don't do shit with yourself and actually give a fuck of what you do, because, you know, you're in this planet one time. Try to make the most of it, you know? You only have a certain amount of time before, hey, guess what? You didn't do what you wanted to do. It's almost too late now. That time is not on your side no more. You better do some shit with yourself. I'm telling you. I mean... you have to, I mean, you would think
but then
that
they're raising their children, so you would look at it. The way I look at it, these children aren't going to respect nobody, and then I'm going to make an assumption because I don't know these children, but I'm assuming that these children, if they do get in trouble in school, I wish you would do something. I'll fuck you up. I can see that. I mean, I've never heard them talk like that, so I'm not going to say these children talk like that, but I can see from the way that the house is being kept.
Yeah.
You know, The children appear to be well-mannered up until this past. And I still think, you know what, let me clear this up. I do think those children are well-mannered because the little boy did last summer after I finished cutting my grass ask me if I needed some help. Too fucking late. But this winter, none of them children asked me if I needed my snow shovel. None of them. That's when they would have got some damn money, okay? Because I didn't want a shovel or nothing.
There you go. They could have made some money out of there, right there.
But then, actually, they probably couldn't have because I have a snow blower. You know.
Yeah.
My snow blower actually died the last big snow we had.
Wow, really?
And, yeah, my
blow
father
no more,
said,
huh?
No, it's some with the this used to be my parents' snowblower, and my father had to take it apart. And when he took it apart and gave it to me and, like, redid an overhaul, he said that some paper had gotten stuck in the fuel line. So he's thinking somehow this snowblower is sucking paper up into it, somehow really thin slivers of paper. We're talking about really thin,
really?
Clogging it.
Okay.
So I said, I'm going to take it, you know, once I'm for sure that we're not getting no more snow, I'm going to take it back over to him. See if he could get it running so the next winter it'll be running again. If not, I'll go buy me. I'm buying me one this summer. I'm going to catch somebody selling one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you get a good price, too, when it's off season, too, exactly.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
So, going to do that. But, yeah, so actually they wouldn't have made no money anyway because we have a snow blower at this house.
Oh, okay.
So, they we blow snow.
Oh, okay. So, it didn't matter.
But, yeah, but, you know, the fact that my next door neighbor, she don't have a snow blower. And I think they actually got mad because one of the snows was so bad. I snowblowed my driveway, and she had gotten out there and started shoveling. And I went and snowblowed part of hers.
Ooh.
And I heard somebody who did not know me yell, B couldn't do mine. B don't know you. And next time I hear I'm called a bitch, I'm going to show you what one is. You know. But the nerve of people who I don't know to get an attitude, it's not my job to shovel your snow. I don't want to do my own.
Exactly. Why would you then want to do yours? Exactly.
You know, and she didn't ask me to do hers. I went and did hers because we're right next to each other. And we've been living next to each other for 12 years.
Okay.
And her father has driven from his house and sometimes blow my snow.
Oh, okay.
At 4 in the morning.
Oh, wow.
So that's the least I could do. And she has a child care.
Okay.
So, big difference.
Yeah.
Versus
true.
Lazy mugs that don't want to get out and do it.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, her father has seen me out there at 4 in the morning. Be like, no, go back in the house. I got it. And snowblow my stuff. So I can't be mad, you know, going
no,
over
no.
to as minor. But, you know, again, that's where respect come in. Respect
mm-hmm.
your neighbors. Respect
yeah.
yourself. But young men. I'm going to go back and I'm going to say it again because I know some folks didn't hear me. Quit sagging your fucking pants because that's a sign of disrespect. Do you know what you're saying?
Yep. Talked about this last time.
Your pants are sagging. You're gay.
Yep. You're fagging.
And you can say, you say, why am I calling you gay? Sagging came from being in prison.
Mm-hmm.
If your ass was showing, that meant you was available and open.
Yep.
To being done.
Yep. Yep.
That's
yep.
what gay men in prison do. Look
yep.
up the history of it. That's where sagging comes from.
Yep.
And you guys think that this is cool, that your pants are sagging. Guess what? Maybe if we would call you for what it means, then you would stop doing it.
Yep.
And let me call it out. Gay community, y'all rip and roar and yell about every fucking thing else. Why are y'all not yelling about these men sagging their pants, which is a symbol of your community?
Mm-hmm.
You get offended when we call you out your name. You get offended when we do everything else. But this is where you should really be offended that a bunch of straight men are walking around with their asses showing
mm-hmm.
and don't know what it's meaning.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and I have a lot of gay friends, but this is where I have the problem. You want me to respect what you do, and I do. You want me to accept you for who you are, I do.
Mm-hmm.
But when somebody imitates you that in an unflattering way, you don't say nothing.
Yeah. When they should.
So if you're going to complain about everything else, complain about this also, because maybe if you would start walking up, maybe if the gay men would start walking up to some of these young men who got their shit sagging, come about, let me get your number, you available, they would stop this shit. See,
oh,
y'all can stop this.
That's true. Sorry, we should start a campaign on this.
Yeah. Gay men, you know what sagging means. Start approaching these so-called straight boys and start asking them for some ass.
Yeah.
They're saying they're giving it away. Why not approach them?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a symbol of being gay. And it's not a
derogatory.
It's not being derogatory.
No, it's not.
That's what they do in prison.
That's right.
This is not being made up, so why don't you guys yell about that? If somebody calls somebody a fag lover, y'all get offended. You know,
mm-hmm.
If you call somebody a fag hag, you get offended.
Mm-hmm.
You call somebody queer, you get offended unless it's queer eye for the straight guy.
Yeah.
you get offended.
Yeah, but not this.
You're not getting offended about something that truly represents your community.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be over in a heartbeat if gay dudes just start doing that. Oh, believe you me, they'd be like, oh hell no, my shit will not be past my knees ever again. Never again. Now, don't get me wrong.
Seriously.
Like, I wouldn't even call it sagging. It's like they might as well wear pants because the shit is like the next thing will
their
be
their underwear. It's always to their damn knees.
Yeah, and it's like what the fuck, you know? I mean, you know, I wear baggy jeans, but I wear a belt, okay? I wear a belt, all right. My ass is not showing. And may I say, I do have a nice ass, but I don't show it, okay? Alrighty, so I know how to,
not,
you know,
you
my shit is not showing like that with the boxes and shit, you know. I don't do that shit. Now, I wear, you know, it's not baggy to a point where you're like, oh my God, were you wearing balloon pants? It's not like that, but, you know, it's just comfortable, you know. Not like what these motherfuckers be doing, where, the shit is like on their ankles and shit, and they're walking like, hey, you know, I don't know why I can't run in this. Because the fucking pants are down your ankles.
And then they got the audacity. And come on, gay community, gay men, y'all listening. This is disrespectful to your community. Make some noise.
Yeah.
I'll back you.
Yeah.
I will back you.
Yeah, no doubt.
Because think about the number of gangbangers who are doing this, and they're wearing the sagging pants, so they're also associating this with being a gangbanger.
Mm-hmm.
And a thug versus what it is. Like, come on, gay man, if y'all listening, I love y'all. Start approaching some of these boys.
Mm-hmm.
Ask them how much the ass is. And have three or four of y'all. Don't do it by yourself, honey.
Yeah.
Three or four of y'all.
Yeah, that'll make it more intimidating. Also, like a pack of wolves, like a pack of gay wolves. Just go over after
them. Go after them like men go after women.
Yes.
Yep. Ooh, look at that ass. He got them pants down. Y'all know he available.
Hey, sexy.
Like, you can't call out the construction workers, too.
Oh, my God. That would change quickly. Now, there are some so-called thugs that they actually are undercover gay guys. They actually act like they really are thugs, but yet they really closet homosexuals, which is, you know, that's fascinating to me. So maybe some of them who do have the past sagging are keeping it real. They're just not being a
whole thing.
You know?
But the whole thing here, for all y'all walking around purping like y'all this shit,
mm-hmm.
I mean, where my gay friends at, I want y'all to come out here. Y'all see these young boys sagging, and I don't know why you got old 40 and 50 year old men sagging also. What's up with that shit?
Well, that's
sagging ain't cute at no age.
No. I mean, maybe
but
yeah.
They think they rappers. Have you ever seen the person who quits their day job or really didn't have no decent day job in the first place? Yo, I'm going to become a rapper. I'm becoming a rapper. Why everybody want to become a fucking rapper when they turn 40?
Ain't that too little too late?
You a rapper.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. good luck, MC Sagan. Yeah, good luck.
You going to rap. You know,
it's crazy.
You 40 fucking years old, still living in your mama's basement, and you talking about you a rapper.
Oh, boy. Mom, where the meatloaf? My God. Yeah, but that would be over quickly. That'd be over quick if just, you know, 4 or 5 motherfuckers approach one. Yeah, let me get your number. Yeah, well, what are you talking about? Well, you're advertising your ass. Yum, yum, give me some. Come on, what's up? Yo, I ain't tagging no more. You know?
And they start telling their boys.
Mm-hmm. Even, I remember Eddie Griffin in one of his stand-ups, he talked about this, straight up about this. And he was talking about how he saw his son sagging his pants, and he told him, he says, yo, that shit came from the prison, sagging his faggot. He said, yo, by the time I finished telling my son, my son put 2 belts on all the way up past the table. He said, I'm not gay. He said, that's right, that's my boy. Now we can have this Eddie spaghetti I'm cooking up here, and let's eat. It'll be done in a minute. That's exactly. It's true, you know. You put it out there like, listen, do you understand what you're doing? Do you understand where this originated from? You know, do you understand the no shoelaces with the sneakers, what that was about? Do you understand?
No, I don't. Wait a minute, what is the shoelace? I heard, but I didn't hear what it was about.
I think it's because they weren't allowed to have shoelaces at all, I think, because that could be used as a weapon. You know, in jail. I think that's what it is. That's why you had the sneakers with no shoelaces. You know, that type of thing. Yeah, you know, I think it has something to do with the shoelaces not to be used as either, you know, to commit suicide. You know, because, you know, some people in jail do that. Or it could be used something else. You know, they don't want to make sure nothing like that happened. You know, so that's one of the... I never did that, though. I had the fat laces. From back in the day, but not the no shoelaces. No, I never did that.
See, you know what? And my son never did the no shoelaces.
I never did.
You know, he went around with his shit untied a lot. Tie the damn things up.
Tie your shoes.
But I never saw the no shoelaces.
It's very rare. I've seen it. This is like a long time ago. You know, but it has happened. You know,
sagging-ass pants.
Yo, please. Ugh. But that's past sagging. That's you know, they might as well, why wear it? Shit's like by the kneecaps or below. I just don't know how that's that cool. I don't understand how does that look cool? I have no idea. That'll make no damn sense to me. It just don't. You know?
Well, they can't do anything. I mean, the whole thing is that they have no respect for themselves. Again, it goes back to respect.
Yep.
And then, where the hell are the mamas at? Where the
days?
Because, see,
hell
I
yeah.
All my son's clothes.
Man, that's
you know, and
about.
I never, I wouldn't even buy my son anything baggy.
Mm-hmm.
And he grew up, I mean, I guess the one clothing line that I liked that he wore, which must have lasted all of 5 minutes, was called School of Hard Knocks.
Okay.
And that shit was expensive, but it only lasted about 5 minutes, and that was actually a nice clothing line.
Okay.
It was for young men, but it was called School of Hard Knocks.
Hmm.
And they were jeans and tops, expensive as hell, but very nice.
Okay.
But, They need to start respecting themselves. I mean, I'm not even going to harp on respect after the night because,
yeah,
you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink.
Exactly.
Definitely.
You only could say so much. It's up to the person themselves to realize that you see the light, you know, because you can say it to your blue in the face. It's up to that person or persons to know what's up and go from there, because you only could do so much. You know, it's like, you know what, I'm not wasting my time no more. You know?
Now that it's getting hot outside, don't get mad when they be calling you a hoe.
Yeah, when you have
y'all
it,
know who I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to bring out the shortest shit that you could find. Because, oh, it's warm outside. I got to air this out. Well, guess what? Advertise that you a hoe, you're going to get treated like one. So I'm preparing you, ladies. The warmer
yep.
it gets, the more y'all want to hang it out. The more you want to hang it out, the more comments you're going to get from men. Guess what?
Yep.
If you don't want the comments, don't wear the clothes. You know, and you can be comfortable and nice looking without looking like you selling pussy on the street corner.
Exactly. It's true. You know, you don't want that attention, don't advertise it.
And for you employers, because I'm going to call it the way it is, for you employers,
mm-hmm.
because the standard of what people wear to work has changed.
Mm-hmm.
For you employers who let your employees come to work looking like that, shame on you.
True.
When I first started working, I had to go buy clothes to work. There was business attire. Even business casual was still proper business attire.
Okay.
They no longer have business casual no more. Everybody think that a polo and a pair of khakis is acceptable. To me, unless your office requires that, that's not acceptable work attire to me. That's just me. Yes, it's business casual. And I've never considered a polo a business shirt. I thought that's the shit that you wore out when you was golfing.
Hey, what's up, Tiger?
You
yeah,
know, that
nah.
was never a
yeah.
fashion statement. Now it's a, but part of it is because those are not a school uniform shirts, these damn polo shirts.
Mm-hmm.
But my whole thing is that if you don't know how to dress for work and you as an employer don't demand a certain level of decorum in your office, then you get what you hire.
Yep.
You get what you hire.
And you get what you pay for, literally, because you're an employer painting these employees looking like the way they look because you don't force it, you know? You don't have a respect the workplace because you don't put it out there. It goes all around, you know. It's not just the household and everything. It also in the workplace itself, too, when it comes to respect. You know, that's just like you were talking about, you know. If you set an example to people, they know, okay, this is the right way of dressing a certain way, you know, depending on the business you're doing. Like I used to be in a job, you know, not far from Wall Street. And as long as I was getting paid, I loved to dress up. I look pretty damn good. I didn't look too
well,
bad.
But the whole thing is that
you
when
know.
You look at, go to the cell phone stores, there is not a single cell phone store, and I'm talking about the major companies. I'm not talking about the
yes.
corner cell phone stores.
Yeah, I know you're talking
what
about.
What I'm talking about is when you look at Verizon, Sprint, T-Mobile,
yep.
Boost, any of these stores who are nationwide, you will notice that their employees all wear the same shirt or a shirt that's similar and pants.
Yep.
When you go into Radio Shack, Staples,
same shit.
Any of the their dress. Even Chase. Now Chase is who I bank with, so I can't speak from another bank. But Chase employees all wear Chase shirts now, if you notice that.
Yeah, the Chase around
they
my
do not wear what they want.
Really, the Chase around my way, they actually do dress up. They actually do dress up like business attire, like it should be. You know, I guess it depends
no,
on
the No, but I'm saying
Chase.
They're business attire, but if you look, if they take off their blazers.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You'll notice that the shirt will have Chase on it.
Okay.
That they have on that blue shirt with Chase embroidered on it.
Oh, I see. Yeah,
that
yeah.
I do know. They, no, they're in business attire. They're still business attire, but if they're wearing a blazer, when they take the blazer off, the shirt
yeah.
they have on says Chase.
Yeah, that's what you're saying.
So even with the banks, even, you know, McDonald's has a uniform for a reason. Burger King has a uniform for a reason. So what makes you think that if your business is not on one of those levels, that it's acceptable for your employees to look like they thugs and hoes? You're getting what you're paying for. If you say this is the uniform you're going to wear, guess what? They have more respect because guess what? Believe it or not, a hoe can't dress like a hoe if she got a uniform to wear. Because she can't make her uniform look like a hoe uniform.
Yeah.
And that thug can't make it look like it because if you say, listen, your pants cannot sag, they have to be fitted pants. That means if you have a 36 waist as a man, you should be wearing 36 waist pants.
Not 42.
Right. You know, and the demand is out there. And I tell people, you know, that's, I'll give you a better example. When we go to Exotica and Expo, you will see me and my daughter in our uniform.
Okay.
Our uniform, our corsets, that's what we wear. She wears a corset and booty shorts or really short shorts, and I wear a corset and a skirt.
Okay.
If there is a man in my booth, he wears a V's After Dark t-shirt. And slacks. We have our own uniform, even at Exotica, something that people wouldn't think about. That's an expo. When you see me in public at AVN, I have on my required uniform for my company, which is for me to be in a corset and a skirt and heels. That is the requirement. So as small as I am, that is our uniform requirement. So when you think that it's acceptable to wear a certain way, I used to work at a union hall years ago.
Okay.
And I wore business attire to work. And because our office was so messy and we dealt with construction workers who are messy, you'll never meet a clean construction worker, never. But they used to have to come in. So because we dealt with a lot of messy things, you know, they literally had to tell me to change what I was wearing. That was the first time I had to be told to change what I was wearing. But even their business casual was still respectable. I was allowed to wear jeans to work, but they could not have holes in them.
Okay.
And I had to wear a decent blouse or a shirt. I could not wear just a T-shirt to work. It had to be something that was work appropriate, not a T-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they actually didn't wear polos up in there. They kind of looked at it. They kind of frowned on polos.
Okay.
You know, so it was a nice pair of jeans and a blouse.
All right.
You know, they didn't want me in true business attire because of the environment. But even there, that was what was acceptable. If I would have had hair down my ass and ghetto fabulous fingernails, I wouldn't have had a job.
No, exactly.
Because I needed to use my hands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so employers, I'm going to take this one step further before we close out. You know, we've been talking about respect at home, but you can make somebody learn respect.
No.
Because if they got to work for you and this is what you want them to dress, you're setting a standard of respect.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is what represents your company.
That's right.
And I don't care if you're at a corner store or, in the case, y'all call them bodegas in New York, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we got them out here. There's one next door to my house.
See, that's my shit. See, I know my parts of the country. See, I know y'all got them bodegas. See? For us, it's just the corner store or the party store. You know, here is the party store. There is the bodega.
Yeah, yeah.
I had to learn that. I had to learn that because I come back and forth too much.
Yes, you're very well-traveled. Yes.
But knowing that, you know, you walk into the bodega, if the hoe is up in there, 9 times out of 10, that owner is probably saying, get out, hoe, because it's bad for their business.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So even they have, your corner stores have a decorum of what's an acceptable dress for their employees. It might not be a uniform, but there's acceptable dress.
Exactly.
You know, so store owners, why do you think when you go to most grocery stores that if they don't have a uniform shirt on, they normally have a smock on?
True.
The name of that store.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
You know, so people, if you look around, we're becoming more of a uniform country because, remember, years ago, everybody wanted a uniform. Now, I'm going to make a hypothetical thought because I'm not sure, but I'll say probably 80% of the schools in this country now, K through 12, are now in some type of uniform.
Yeah.
Which wasn't like that when I was growing up.
No.
They mandated it. When my son went to high school, well, when he went to public school here, they mandated the uniform for the public schools here in Detroit. And they said that was cut down on gang violence.
Yeah.
The private schools already had uniforms, so that was not an issue.
That's true.
You know, so when you're talking about 80 or 90% of the schools in this country, regardless if they're public or private, being in uniform, the respect is already started in school. Why not carry that shit over to the workplace? Why you got to become a hoe when you get out of school?
Yeah, right. Go ass backwards. That made no damn sense. It's true. I don't know if I would have liked that, you wearing a uniform going to public school. I kind of like the fact I wore my own shit.
Well, I'm sure you wasn't getting cracked upside the head by the doggone gangs either.
No. Very lucky, you know.
Well, you know, most of the public schools now, regardless if you're in a urban city like Detroit or if you're in a suburban city like Rochester, New York, the gangs are everywhere. They're not just inner city. Therefore, to cut down on that, you have a lot of people who are being caught up in gang crossfire. Well, guess what? If you get rid of them colors that them gangs wear, you knock out a lot of shit. Because you can't come to school wearing gang colors.
Nope.
You know, and I think they did that because of suburban America. I ain't going to say because of the inner city. They did it because the gangs found out where suburban America was, and they said, oh, hell no, not in my city. We got to change this. Well, they want the uniform where you can't do the suburbs go to uniform and the inner city not do it because they got the same problem. See, when the problems are the same across the board, then they want to address them.
Yeah, unfortunately, that is fucking true. That is absolutely fucking true. That's exactly true. Just like, you know, drugs were always an issue until they went to the middle of America. Then it became an epidemic.
Yeah.
Oh, now we must have war against drugs now, you know. It's the same shit. Yeah, unfortunately, that is true. And that could be taken care of. That could be another topic, but that could be taken care of very easily in a way. But, yeah.
Yeah,
we all know the reason
but
why.
The whole thing, yeah, and we won't even get into it, but, you know, like I said, once the problem went to the suburbs, it became a nationwide problem, you know. Everybody's affected. We got to take care of it, you know. At the end of the day, you know, I do agree with the uniforms only because, you know what, now when those few times I do have to catch the bus to work when my car breaks down, at least I know who the damn school kids is from the grown folks.
True.
I can say, oh, that's a child. That's a grown person.
It's even funny when you see a person around my age dressing like they're a teenager.
Yeah. But, you know, we're coming down to the last minute, and we got to make sure
gonna be
we
over
the show
already.
Out. Right. Yeah.
Mm.
Well, it started off with the first 15 minutes, me apologizing for not having no damn power.
Wow, but we still over the air. Everything went smooth. You know, it was only when you just went over to the other side, when you switched the other thing. And then other than that, it was fine. It went smoothly. Other than that, that was just real briefly, you know. We had a decent show.
Yeah, we did, and it was a good first show, and we'll begin our... Hopefully, everybody will have our guests back by the summer. I've been kind of stuck, and I'm coming back around. You know, now we got to start reaching out and getting these folks back on, and
that'd be awesome.
Maybe we get some musical guests also, because I want to get the music people back. So anybody y'all listening, drop me your sounds. Please do not drop sounds if all you made is one song and you sound like them folks that was on Kathleen and Hooter today that they did the practical joke on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, serious artist, you know, if you've got managers who want to drop your stuff, we'll interview you. But remember, we talk about sex on Tuesday nights. If y'all heard, Sex was incorporated up in tonight's show, too.
That's right.
Every week I got to incorporate. It might have been a whole lot, but we do talk about sex, sex, and more sex every Tuesday, 9 to 11 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
But we get to sign out. This is our first sign out, so we're going to have to figure out how we're going to do our sign out now. But
yeah, I know, exactly, right? we'll see how this goes.
I was going to touch base with you earlier, but like I said, we had a little problem, so.
Understandable.
It is what it is. We still got on the air on time. That was the
exactly.
most important thing.
Of course.
But,
this is a great first show for me. I really enjoyed it, and many more to come. So this will be very
fun. Oh, and Joseph, who left the chat room early, he said congratulations to me on getting the co-host.
Uh-huh.
And
it's real nice. That's really cool. I really appreciate that. That's very cool. Yeah. It's good,
Joseph says a lot, so I have to, like, I get the book with Joseph. So, Joseph, if you listen, I'm not talking about you negative. It's just, like, I be trying to read, and you know I can't. You know I'm ADD, so I been got caught up on what you say, and then I forget what I'm supposed to be saying.
you drive off the road very easily. Yeah. But which way I go now?
Which way did that fork say? We gotta say, everybody, you've been listening to Bees After Dark with your host, Miss Vita Toiletti, and
your co-host, James Acevedo. And it'd be nice to hear you say Acevedo. I know you did it one time. It was pretty well. There you go.
I'd be wanting to say Acevedo.
So. The first time you said it was a little better. The first Acevedo, it's fine. Yeah, so, you know, this is it. Now we go until next week.
And we'll be talking to you next Tuesday on V's After Dark. And remember to listen on Thursday to Ask Miss V, where you are the co-host and you set the topic. Until next week, I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, peace, everybody. Ladies.